tell you guys was I wasn't recording, actually. So we're talking NBA playoffs now, and TJ was just giving us a point. What were you saying? I love LeBron too.
I said to be real, up until this year, I wasn't like a huge LeBron fan. I had respect for him, but like, I guess I just soaked in at what he could do on that level, and it pains me to watch the Cavs play, man, because he's so good, and he has no consistency, man, and you can just feel
around him.
LeBron, dude, and like J.R. Smith,
and he opens up so much by shooting 60%.
Oh my god!
You know. Like,
just being him.
Like, if you could just make open shots, that's all you need to do.
Yeah. And, like, just, I don't think the J.R. Smiths, I don't think his team is as bad. Like, I don't think they're on the other, I think J.R. Smith can still compete. I feel like Kevin Love can. Tristan Thompson, I don't know what happened to him, but it hurts me, dude, because I really wanted to see, I would love to see LeBron get to the finals again and give it to either Houston or Golden State.
Well,
I actually texted a picture in my fantasy football group chat. All guys, like you guys know from growing up and shit. And I took a picture at the end of the game of Boston 3-2, Houston 3-2, and I said, how much does the NBA hate this right now? Because the league is not gonna want that narrative of Houston versus Boston.
The best game would be, like, the best storyline is LeBron gets his revenge, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which I don't think is possible.
No.
But I'm loving this Houston and
Golden State
series.
Yeah, that game was fantastic.
That game last night might have been the best NBA game I saw all year.
It was really good. Chris Paul is making everybody remember
his
name.
But he went down, remember?
Skates, dude.
Yeah.
He's got the whole Golden State team on skates, man.
He went down, though. He might be... Did they say anything about that? I didn't watch SportsCenter this morning.
I didn't see it either, but I haven't gotten any notification. But I did see the play. He just went up for a floater and came down kind of awkward.
Right.
So I'm curious.
Like, but he did like the Euro step, and I think he did something there. And I think when you're 34 years old or however old he is.
Yeah, he's a little older than us.
When you're running around for 40 minutes straight, and he played like every minute of that game.
Yeah.
Hard.
His defense was official.
Yeah.
Steph Curry was locked up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he's making everybody put respect back on his name. Because it's not like he hasn't been good all this time. He's just, like, let's be honest, Blake.
Oh, that Clippers team sucked.
Might as well call him, like, real corny joke, Flake Griffin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because, but he's a ginger. I got to stand by him.
Yeah, to TJ's point about superstars without consistency around them, Paul is the epitome of that.
Yeah.
Like, he's been good forever. And
forever.
He's
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
He made David West look like a superior being.
Exactly.
And
Lob City, that was supposed to be this big hyped up thing.
Well, here's the thing. NBA has changed. So you put up Lob City with guys like Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. That's two guys who can't shoot threes on your team.
Yep.
You've now limited your floor space, your spacing, to this inside the box a little bit. Except for Chris Paul. And then you put in Doc Rivers' son, which sucks. And I hate Doc Rivers for that.
Yeah.
Like, it was totally, what's the word? What's the word when, like a famous person's son becomes famous? I forget the word. I got to look it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. But
he definitely played favoritism and all that shit.
That's what it is, essentially, favoritism.
And to your point, Tej, And anybody that's even if anybody ever listens and knew me, I can't be a fraud. I used to hate LeBron James. So I got to be honest before I say what I'm going to say to endorse him in a way. Because people like that know me would be like, dude, you're full of shit. Like, you hated that guy forever.
Yeah.
So I got to admit that first. But yeah, it's almost like kind of like upsetting. You watch this guy play incredible, does everything, and it's like, man, this guy's got like...
Nothing.
Help. Yeah.
It's literally like AI in 2000, 2001.
Yeah, because he shut people like me up. The guy, like, if you're still a LeBron hater just because you want to hate him, like, you got to get over it, dude. I've recovered. I have recovered from that train of thought.
And
you
we
can
talked
do it.
About that last time when you were on the podcast. Because when you went to Miami, I was like, oh, this guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of get it. If you're in a city that's not spending any money, which they did it again to him,
mm-hmm.
to get you the right players to be competitive with with a team that has, without a doubt, two Hall of Famers on it.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. I don't know if Klay Thompson and Draymond are Hall of Famers, but...
Draymond, maybe because of his versatility. They always give guys like that
a lot of
that.
I think he's a little overrated. I think if you put him on a bad team, he's bad.
He certainly helped them lose last night.
Yeah.
He couldn't even catch a pass.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was
real bad. The pass was low, though, but still.
Still, yeah.
He was doing too much. He was trying to act like a point guard, and he is like a versatile big man.
Yeah.
But he's not a point guard.
No, he did like a typical like football analogy. He ran before he caught it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because he was like, he thought he had that layup. Because mm-hmm. who was defending him? I think it was Hart.
Ariza?
No,
yeah,
was it?
Somebody was checking him, and he definitely had them beat to the basket.
It was
only a two-point game. So you figure if he does catch that, he's going beeline to the basket to either go draw the foul or force Ariza to make a play. If he finishes that layup, who knows? Would have, could have, should have, but...
Do you know who's disappointed me in this series? Harden.
I can't agree.
I thought
with that.
Last night he like is such a streaky player. He gets so hot. This is what's disappointing. Where you get like the maybe I said that wrong. You get the constant consistency from Chris Paul.
Yes.
And the two games they lost because of Harden's defense and because he just was so streaky. Like he went 10 minutes one time without scoring a point, which I think that's. Like, his defense is killing it on offense. That way, you make the guy so tired that he can't on the other side of the floor.
No, that's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I can get that. I can get... His consistency definitely is not there. It's not the most consistent of players. There's no doubt about that.
But dude,
go ahead.
Wasn't there... Was it last game or the game before? He was playing tight D on top of on the
three-point
line. He was picking Steph's pocket, man.
You know,
yeah.
And he... I do notice that when he guards Steph, he actually D's up. And I feel like when he guards other guys, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think he gets worried when he's got to play that three, like in the small ball lineup.
Yeah.
I think he knows that if he plays two... And
Too aggressive on D,
he could be out of the game like that.
He's
I think offensively, other teams game plan for
the
that
fouls,
the second like a six, the second one of our bigger wings gets checked by Harden, go at him, get him out of the game because he's not big enough to check a larger guy, like a Draymond, anybody that's like a 6'8", 6'9", wing.
Do you know what else I noticed? Klay Thompson has no post game at all.
Because
he had Eric Gordon on him, who was much smaller than him, and that's what I liked about the Villanova kid, Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
If he had somebody smaller than on him, he took him right down to the post,
throwing
2 points.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's. That little fadeaway that like Dirk Nowitzki made famous is so powerful,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, the guy's got. How does he have none of it?
I don't know. I mean, and to that to your point of
and
how
I like
it worked,
the Klay Thompson kid.
Yeah, he's good. That's what Stevens did with like Smart to us in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they had a guard. They had guards. Go down low
on TJ McConnell,
on TJ and Bellinelli and JJ. And yeah, I mean, you got to almost assume that they can't do that with Thompson, then he must just not have that in his game. I do know he's to me on that team, he's the most frustrating guy to watch.
Yeah.
Klay.
Mm-hmm. He shoot as someone whose whole job, anytime I played actual serious basketball, high school or college, like under a referee with a coach for a team. My whole job was just to, like, make a shot at a certain point in time. And to me, anybody who's going to shoot just because it's all about how the other team just operated instead of, like, just being patient in your offense, like, it's clear as day.
Right.
Like, he'll shoot a three just because the opposing team just made one.
Yeah.
Not because it happened.
Well, he can't create his own shot. So his only options are get a pass from somebody at the three and shoot a three, or like maybe pump fake 18-foot jumper.
Mm-hmm. Right, but why not? He's got guys that draw double teams. So if I'm him, I'm getting the ball maybe on the short corner or on the baseline sometimes.
Top of the key.
And I have technically an open shot because my prowess is of a really good shooter.
Yeah.
Why not kick it back to the guy who's going to get doubled, reposition yourself? You'll be that much more open when the ball swings back.
Right.
He shoots within 5 seconds on the shot clock way too much.
Yeah.
I get it. You're really good.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But 5 seconds is 5 seconds.
Yeah.
He'll just come down, boom.
And his shot is beautiful.
Yeah, and that's the most
perfect release.
That's why he scores 60 points in a quarter or six, in my opinion.
Well, and like, Steph's handles are on a beam, dude. And Klay Thompson's are not. Steph shakes and bakes everybody. Mm-hmm. Even Chris Paul, I saw him bake him a couple times, and I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because Paul is like a great defender to me. Yeah. All right, I want to ask you guys this question. If you're starting the Sixers, say they have a draft with Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum coming up.
Right.
Who do you pick after watching
this? That is such a hard question, dude.
Gosh, man.
Yeah, I pointed to TJ just because
this is truly like a 51-49 because they're both amazing. Like, dude. Tatum has shown, like, ridiculous. He can finish, he can play D, he can shoot to three, all at a high level. Like, And he's clutch, and there's no development time to go from the college game to the pro game. I'm going to have to say I take Tatum, dude.
I think I take Tatum, too. I think because of the same reasons.
Today's NBA, I have to take Tatum as well.
And if Tatum only gets better, like...
Right. I mean, how is that guy... I guess a good Ben argument, Simmons. Too, is like if you're going to tell me – so we're all in agreement, Tatum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're on the Simmons camp, you then have to convince – you have to convince me how he's going to regress.
Right.
Because that could then – that's your only real argument point if you're going to say – because
and he's produced, we have seen that, like where NBA players have a great season 1 year.
Right, and then regress. So if you can tell me how, well, he's not getting D'd up this way, or they're going to check him this way next year. Dude, the kid's got a stroke.
But the Celtics balls, is like clutch. All B-plus, C-plus stars.
Exactly.
Right?
So imagine how much better he'll be when Kyrie's back or Hayward's back.
Right. That's what I would think.
But
right?
let me throw a counter.
What position will he play?
Take Jay Crowder. When he was on the Celtics, everybody thought he was going to be like a top-tier player. Granted, he's a very good player on the Jazz right now. But Brad Stevens makes that team, man. So yeah. I'm not saying that Tatum... I still would take Tatum, but I think you have to take it in consideration how
what does
good
he do?
That coaching is.
Yeah, like, that's a great point. That's a good counter.
But what does he do that's so different than everybody else? Like, Belichick. Have we ever realized, like, what Belichick does? Is he just that much smarter than everybody else? And is that what we have with Brad Stevens? Or is it a combination... of great GMing with drafting the right players. I think that's a big part of it.
That's definitely a big part.
Like, having the right scouts, having guys who know their stuff. And, you know, a lot of times scouts are like ex-NBA players, and they're like, oh, I went to UNC. This guy went to UNC. We should take him, you know? And I just don't know. I agree. Brad Stevens, amazing coach.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, amazing coach.
I guess... the ability to convince
the players
an athlete,
that they can do it.
Yeah, or that... All right, so if you're like, you know, you have five skills that you individually deem yourself at elite levels, and a coach can convince you that of those five, really two are superior to the other three, and that's all I need you to do, I think that's where these... I think that's the nature of these coaches' success.
And the Celtics kind of look like the old Spurs with, like, the defense and the ball movement.
Exactly.
They get everybody to turn over, and I don't even know how. Like, they get everybody to turn over the ball so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Horford is phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, he's very good.
And, like, I just don't get the Ben Simmons argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy has no yumper, El Yumper at all. No. That's what I call it now, El Yumper. Oh, his El Yumper is off.
Yeah, zero.
Zero jumper.
Didn't shoot a three all year, I don't think. I don't even think he attempted one.
He made one.
He made one?
Yeah, I think he probably attempted three or four. But his shot just looks unnatural. How do you get a guy, like they both did 1 year in college. How does one guy so complete and another guy is so, like, not that he's trash. He's amazing. Nah,
yeah.
He's the best physical specimen other than LeBron in the NBA.
Yes.
The best athlete, you know. Looks
and he
like
gets the game. He definitely gets the game.
Great passer, amazing. Really, you would be lucky to have either one of them. We're lucky we got Ben Simmons.
I would say my opinion would be Tatum went to Duke. Simmons went to LSU. I think that's a big thing because you're understanding
Duke
basketball.
Is expected to shoot and stuff.
Well, I think there's I coached basketball for kids for a couple years, and I think in my opinion with basketball there's coaching philosophies where, you know, there's the new game that's so athletic, and there's coaches that just like want to run, right? So then they get players that run. But the greater coaches understand the change of pace element to basketball, which is, to me, on a personal opinion, more important than speed or athleticism.
Right.
Because that's the whole game.
You see it in college, too. With like Duke isn't always the most athletic team.
Right. Or they might run all over a team because they know that in that particular matchup, oh, this team can't hang with us.
Right.
But the very next night, if they know, like, oh, we're not going to be able to escape, like, getting into a half-court set consistently because these guys have a big man and they're just, you know, they're going to naturally trap us into a half-court set. So now we have to bring our offense from a half-court set and then – if we succeed, we can go back to running. Like, it's not just AAU basketball is destroying basketball from this whole run and gun.
Yeah.
Because when it's done successfully, it works, quote unquote.
Yeah,
but the
right.
greatest teams have way more elements than just that.
And the European players are so much better.
Exactly.
Tatum need to, this is honestly an open question. But the fact that Tatum didn't necessarily need to carry as heavy of a load as Ben did.
That's a good point.
It. I mean, because in the Sixers game, I mean, you had Morris dropping shots. You had Smart dropping shots.
Yeah.
You had the
all of
the
them.
Man bun
Morris
dropping
shots. Oh, yeah, Baines.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
such a complete team that Tatum didn't have to carry the load. We had such a high expectation on Ben to
and
perform.
And Ben, yeah.
And, like, I wonder if Tatum was in Ben's shoes, would he feel the same pressure that Ben did?
Yeah.
At a young age, right?
The pressure's without a doubt on Ben. Mm-hmm.
And I also think if you could compare them both to quarterbacks, Tatum came into a team with, like, receivers that if he's going to make, like, a throw that to the average eye is off, quote-unquote, you're not going to notice it as much because the receiver is going to, like, help him out. I think in Simmons' role, having to be the point guard, he's forced to make – higher acumen decisions more consistently. And when you're younger and immature, that's any young player has to deal with that, let alone being the man and the distributor and the setup guy and the playmaker. It's like,
and you can tell he was looking
to
pass.
It's like an extra weight, you know.
He was looking to, he always looks to pass, and he's an amazing passer.
Yeah. And he's not probably used to close out speed on passing lanes.
Right.
Compared to college or even
AAU,
yeah, because I mean, even LeBron, you know, he people
his
can still catch him like from a pass.
Yeah, but his whacker was It wasn't. He shot way more threes than Ben. I didn't look up the stats, but he didn't shoot a lot of threes. He did a lot of what Ben did: drive to the hole, distribute.
Yes. And that's my point: is if someone as great as LeBron, even in his career right now, can have a 5-turnover game being dominant with the basketball, expecting a, how old's Ben Simmons? 20-year-old rookie to have that similar acumen is unrealistic.
And then
it's going to take time.
My next question is this. If Markelle Fultz is on the Celtics, is he a different player?
I think they would have, like, I think they would have traded him, like, midway through the season.
But would he even have those problems? Because Stevens, who knows? He might have gotten the guy's head. He's like, oh, I'm the best, you know, I'm Jordan.
Mm. I don't know.
It's like a total hypothetical, you know, there's...
I think, honestly, that culture would have been way more harsh on his...
Right.
And I think they would have just got rid of him.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have put up with the... It's not off the court antics from like he got in trouble with the law or smoking pot or doing steroids or something.
But it was like a mental issue.
Yeah, it was some issue that was created outside of the team. Mm. And the team put up with it, for lack of a better word, where I think the Celtics would have been like, look, we have all these guys already. We're the 18-time championship Boston Celtics. Like, we don't have time for your bullshit.
And I do want to say, I'm sure TJ's the voice of reason. He'll probably agree with me on this. We put so much pressure on young kids in the NBA, and if like you hand them millions of dollars, and you expect them to be perfect, essentially.
Bro, when we traded up to get, think about not justifying his psychological state, because you know to whom
he's
much
only
is given,
20 years
much
old.
Is required, yeah. Right? He got a big paycheck, but dog, we traded up a couple. The whole city goes nuts because we trade up to the number one pick. He comes to a city that's been notoriously disappointed with basketball.
Yeah.
And we're like, this is our year, baby. This guy's going to make the difference for us. Well, yeah. That's a big...
He didn't play until there was like 50 games already played.
Exactly.
And you're right. Yeah, like, that's got to... Not just, like, I'm okay with Fultz taking longer to adapt. I just think that it's something that... Hopefully he can talk to somebody and figure out.
I think, ironically, to go back to previous points about comparison in social media, it's harder to deal with Fultz because we have a direct divisional comparison in our face every night, who's still in the playoffs, and then it works your brain even worse on the kid.
And people clown him on social media.
Oh, yeah. Game of Zones? Do you guys watch
that? Oh, that Bleacher? After the Houston game,
they clowned
Ben and Fultz. So there was an argument. It was Tatum, Simmons, the Utah kid, Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah.
And Fultz. And they were like arguing about who's rookie of the year. And they were like, what do you think, Markel? And he was hiding behind
a chair.
He was hiding behind a menu, and they were eating at a restaurant. I was like, oh, man.
Because they, Game of Zones is like a basketball, like they adapt Game of Thrones into basketball. Mm-hmm. So all the rookies are playing NBA 1K, and it's like a board game. So, but it's like, it's all the same design of NBA 2K. So every time the dice goes to Markel Fultz, it's like, Markel, it's your turn. Are you ready to roll? He's like, not yet.
Yeah. And like, he obviously sees that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no way to not watch that.
I will say, though, I have never, ever in my 30 years on this earth and 20-some following basketball seen something as bizarre as that shooting mechanic.
The video?
I've never seen anything like that. You know, there's guys with leg injuries, like...
Well, people get mental Brandon about their leg injuries, too.
Right, but Roy, it's not like... You never saw that weird thing. You were just like, oh, he's hurt. He can't explode. Yeah. D-Rose, same thing. Like, oh,
his hamstring's not the same.
Yeah, it's like that's natural to see. A guy just loses a step. But I have never seen someone's entire mechanics. You learn how to shoot a basketball as young as what? Kindergarten in some cases?
You learn how to shoot it right later, though.
You're right. Yeah. You just got to the highest level ever, and just out of nowhere, your mechanics just... Like, that's the most bizarre thing to me. I know he was hurt and all, but just strange.
LaMelo Ball, NBA player?
I don't know enough about it, dude.
I like him, but I don't know if he's an NBA player.
Too slow.
He has no hops.
No hops.
Like, his brother has hops.
The young one.
No, the oldest one.
The oldest one, yeah.
Yeah, Lonzo. Lonzo. And his shot is so weird, though.
Yeah. Elbow out, wrist under the ball. I mean, I feel like
and he's got big hands. I wonder why he does that.
Herb McGee's like just... I don't know if Herb McGee's still alive or not, but he's probably just like turned his head watching that.
I don't know. Like, I love Barkley and Shaq on the NBA on TNT. They are so funny. Mm-hmm. And everything they say is, like, insightful, good. Kenny kind of annoys me sometimes. I like Ernie, though, too.
I love Ernie.
Yeah. He's the best guy ever.
Yeah.
You know, he, like, adopts all these kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, in that cast, too, it's like, it works, but he's so much different than the cast. Yeah. It just works, dude.
Yes. The funniest was when he got, like, a fade, and they started being like, is Ernie black? Ernie goes to a black barbershop. Man. It was so funny. I'm not doing it any justice. Now.
Yeah.
Well,
I like that they keep it real. Like,
they do.
Shaq and Barkley are some of the few athletes that don't...
They're not afraid to speak their mind.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I feel like the NFL, a lot of their analysts, you know, they make it about themselves and then try to make simple points really, like, from this, like, academia mm-hmm. standpoint. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Charles and Shaq just go like, nah. That was, like, he sucked.
Mm-hmm.
He played bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, oh, well, you got to remember, like, Wednesday, these guys practiced for 3 hours instead of two.
Right.
That extra hour probably got into his fatigue. And, you know, they're just like, nah, he had a bad game, played like shit, he's got to come out and do that.
And I also want to, I know you guys, do you watch boxing at all?
No.
Do you watch it? I just want to touch on this real quick. I've been saying I was going to talk about it for, like, 3 weeks. The biggest boxer out right now is a Ukrainian kid, Vasyl Lomachenko.
Great name.
Floyd, listen to his boxing name, High Tech. Wow. How cool is that? Nice. When I heard that, I was like, that's cool.
So say his full name, like, first, High Tech, what is it?
Vasyl High Tech Lomachenko.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And his other name is The Matrix. Vasyl the Matrix Lomachenko.
Because he just dodges punches like the Matrix. Yeah. That's dope.
And so this guy is official, though. He's won 2 gold medals at the Olympics. I think he's 25. He's 15-0. He's the last 2 opponents he faced were the guys were champions and they gave up. They didn't get up off the stool for like the 6th and 7th rounds. And these guys were good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he's not better than Floyd Mayweather, in my opinion. He just went up a weight class, and he has no, like, this guy, he got knocked down in the last, he won a unanimous decision, but he got knocked down. Unanimous decision means all 3 judges voted that you won more rounds. My problem with him is, Floyd was kind of a boring fighter to watch.
Technically, yeah.
And I didn't really like I go back and I look at the highlights and I'm like, that's cool. But Floyd was not my favorite boxer to watch at all. And he was the greatest, though, by no doubt. There's like not even a close second, I think. But so this Lomachenko kid, they pretty much crowned him the next Floyd already. And he's 15-0. Floyd's 50-0.
Right.
And so that, like, bothers me. And it's all for promotion. It's all for money.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is they're trying to sell this fight. Less Americans usually watch a fight if there's an American not in it or it's not 2 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the nice thing is when you have Floyd Mayweather against a guy like Canelo, all the Mexican-Americans watch it. And then a lot of people are Floyd fans or boxing fans watch it.
Right.
Whereas if you have a Ukrainian guy, you really only get the boxing fans. Maybe, I don't know how many Ukrainian Americans there are, but there's not as many as mm-hmm. Mexican Americans.
No.
So they've crowned this kid, and the kid walks around like he's the man, too. And he's an amazing boxer. But I'm just rooting for him to lose so bad. And every time I talk to somebody, they say they're like, oh, I love him. I'm like, that kind of annoys me about him. And he's got this, like, Floyd kind of had it too, this pity pat style, where he's not really hitting people with power. He's just hitting them hard enough to where they can't get punches off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the exciting thing with boxing, like this guy Golovkin who knocks everybody out.
Yeah, he's great.
The Kazakh Crusher. Great nickname, too.
Yeah.
So, this guy is unbelievable. He's like 38-0. 38 knockouts, you know, not really like that. He's had a couple decisions, but he's had a lot of knockouts. Amazing guy to watch. Who's the Magic Man? I want to say Brandon Jennings, but it's something. New Brooklyn guy beat cancer and is a championship boxer.
Wow.
And he had like a bad tumor on his spine. They said he might never walk again. And they were like, you'll definitely never box again.
Wow.
And he's a championship boxer, amazing guy. Brandon Magic Man, I forget. But you could, if you look up Magic Man Boxing, you'll see him.
Yeah.
Then there's another guy, Mikey Garcia. I just posted a picture of him with him on my Instagram the other day. Mexican-American guy from California in the same weight class as this Lomachenko guy. But he doesn't have the big promoters. This is what I don't like about boxing, right?
Right.
He doesn't have the big promoters, so you don't hear his name as much.
Mm-hmm.
You hear this about this Lomachenko guy on ESPN all the time now. And this guy, Mikey Garcia, I think is a better fighter. He's got the power. He can, I think, wipe the floor with this Lomachenko guy. But you don't hear about him. And it's because the Lomachenko people don't want him to fight Mikey Garcia.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of cool thing. I'm not a huge UFC guy, but that is the cool thing about UFC. The best fighters fight the next best up.
Right.
And there's, like, in boxing, like with Floyd, there was a huge gap, but there's not really a huge gap. Like, it's kind of, you kind of know who the best two guys are and in each division. So I just want to talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about the Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder fight if that happens. I think Joshua wins. Do you know who either of those guys are? Yeah. So Joshua's heavyweight from England. He's only been boxing for like 8 years, but he's just so good. He's like the Lennox Lewis 2.0, right? And then Deontay Wilder is an American guy from Alabama. And so he is just a knockout. He knocks everybody out. I think that guy's 38-0, I'm pretty sure, with 38 knockouts.
Dang,
but so he's not as – he's got more athleticism, which really in boxing means nothing.
Right.
But he's just got, like, athleticism to deliver that knockout punch so many times.
Yeah.
And that, like, that thing where you can just knock people out. Some guys just have it. Tyson had it. And Butterbean had it. And so, you know, I'm excited to see that. That's supposed to be coming up soon.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about new rap albums you like? I know you said you like the Pusha T album.
Yeah, dude. I was listening to Pusha T album on the way up here. It is, one, it's refreshing.
In the kitchen at work, will you listen to music?
Yes. As, dude, funny, like, cultural kind of thing I experience is most of my cooks are, like, twice our age.
Right. And a lot of cooks are not white guys, usually, right? Or is that line cooks?
No, dude, okay. That stereotype is valid in certain
like
formats.
Spanish, yeah.
Yes, yes. In certain formats, it's all, like, it's, like, top-weighted income. So a lot of times, like, in these places where that stereotype comes from of Latin American, you know, people working in kitchens is because, you know, ownership groups get in, open restaurant A, right, hire chef B, give him inflated salary C, and try to get as much work as possible out of the cheapest they can go.
Right.
There's always that obvious stereotype from, like, landscaping, construction, right? It's because a lot of the nature of these businesses is... the kind of occupational mental aspect that you need is what dictates the big bucks. For whatever reason, in these fields, that hands-on labor is not just...
Right.
People just don't justify that the same pay class.
Mm-hmm.
But in a corporate environment, there's way more... It's different because you have to have a certain customer service aspect about you, you know... there's not like you're not in the back of the kitchen, you know, you can look a certain way, you got to be like kind of like presentable. And not that all Latin American people in kitchens are illegal, but some are, and if you are, it's harder to get into corporate America because essentially you're working for a corporate company, whereas if you're working for a restaurant, it's private.
So
in my particular world, there's every class of people. And a lot of times what you have is somebody that was from a busier position in the private sector who wants Monday through Friday hours. So in my particular case, my cooks, who technically are under me, right, structurally speaking, their boss, quote-unquote, right, they're just older men and women who used to maybe be me,
but are now in their 50s, 60s, almost like their retirement mm-hmm. job. They want to still cook, but they don't want to deal with the headache of paying people right. and ordering food and things of that nature. So we listen to like 102.9 all the time.
Yeah.
You know, or 93.3. So whenever they're not in the kitchen,
yeah.
sometimes I'll play my music. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or if I'm in the office, I'll put headphones on.
So you'll be like cutting cucumbers and being like rapping some yeah. real gangster yeah. stuff.
Oh, something. And yeah. sometimes they're like, what the fuck are you yeah. listening to? You yeah. know, there's just that. Well, is that generational divide? No, they can't. I'm the boss. I mean, right. I'll take the radio out the fucking kitchen yeah. if I want. And be like, no music for anybody, yeah. you know. But I didn't mean to say that like a dick. But
no, I understand.
Yeah. So yeah, I zone out more if I'm like in the office or whatever. But yeah, Pusha T's new album is fire, and I think I was talking earlier about this kid Smoke Perp.
Yeah,
he came out with Lil Pump. And they're both just like real ignorant music. Yeah.
Sometimes TJ, like, I don't know if you're the same, and tell me what music you like after me, if you don't mind. But when I go to the gym, I need like some gangster rap, like some like DMX, you know,
yeah,
like
Styles P,
like some stuff that I'm like, yeah. But then I listen to gospel music. Then I listened to, yesterday I was listening to Paul McCartney and Wings, and, you know, dope. So, like, I listened to literally everything. Are you the same way, TJ?
With the exception of rock, I can't do, like, soft rock or even, like, metal type of stuff. And then my wife loves country music. I can't get into it too much. She loves the storyline. She's super emotional, so she loves the aspect of a song taking her somewhere emotionally. Yeah. Country does that, but I can't get
it's like a soap opera country song, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I can't get into it super either, and I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to show Joey, like, my two favorite gospel groups are Hillsong Worship and Elevation Worship. And me and TJ were talking about this, but these guys have bangers, Joe.
Oh, they're rappers.
No, it's like it's rock.
Oh, okay.
Like,
all
there's
right.
a guitar.
Oh, all right.
There's stuff like that. But it's just like, it's like Ed Sheeran, kind of. Like, it's like something you can just vibe to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that, what, do you have anyone else you like on the gospel tip?
I love Latin music, dude. I love it. I love, because there's different flavors, right? So I love when people can express creativity through, again, if we want to go back, sometimes, like, in the quote-unquote Christian world, you make it very black and white. So this, it has to look this way and not that way. But I love when people can express creativity through music, be it rap, Latin music, worship, even rock for that matter, through the lens. And it's just the content of the songs that change.
Yeah.
It feels the same, except now the content is focused on something different than maybe like a Pusha T, which both are equally as creative. It's just the content that makes them.
And the funny thing is,
I
couldn't
agree more, man. That's a great point.
Before I found these two Christian groups, I was like, oh, Christian music is whack, it's corny.
Cheesy, right?
But then I was like, a hit song is a hit song no matter what.
Yes.
And you hear a couple of these songs that these guys have.
Bangers, right?
Tons of Fire, Elevation Worship. You hear that? Hit record.
Right.
I don't think the radio would play it, but if I played you and didn't tell you it was a Christian soul, you'd be like, banger.
Yeah.
You know? Absolute fire. But, you know, I get not everybody's trying to hear that, too.
Well, and I could get down with that because, so like, if from a generational gap, maybe somebody older goes, what are these guys saying? It's like, my point sometimes is, I get that I'm like a 30-year-old adult. I can't relate to gang culture or something, but I'm not listening from a relatable aspect. I just want to listen to this from a different, like you were saying, Teach, like a different emotional aspect. And that, to me, if you look at music like that, people that get so hung up on the content of lyricism, it's like that's just one aspect music.
Mm-hmm.
There's still the instruments, there's still the production, there's the engineering, there's wherever this person was coming from. And a lot of that has to do more like
with respect, and then just like being able to just like your own shit and own it.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody says to you, "Oh, dude, that the lyrics in that are just like so awful or whatever."
I know.
You should be able to say like, you know what? Like I'm just listening to it.
It's entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And, like, so if you want to worship, be entertained,
yeah,
get hyped up, get real sad,
and I was like,
should all be okay. It should all be fine.
I gave my dad this the other day, analogy. I was like, the Beatles are like the Wu-Tang Clan. And then I said, who did I say was like, I was like, and Bob Dylan is Nas.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So, and Mick Jagger is Jay-Z, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And, Steven Tyler is, I forget who I said he was, but I was just kind of like explaining to him, I was like, there's, you know, different, it's not all the same. And maybe right. when our parents hear it, they think it sounds all the same.
Yeah, and the contrast and relatability to suburban white kids and like African American, like gangster rappers, right? There's a huge divide. The irony is most of our, most being just a word that I'm using in a general term, most of our parents' music, all those dudes were like British.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, there's the, like, what is, you know, what, a guy growing up in the 70s in Northeast Phillies, like, has a lot in common with somebody in Liverpool. Yeah. There could be an equal cultural mm-hmm. divide.
Do you know
race
what I
doesn't
that?
Have to necessarily mm-hmm. just be...
dictate everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
The UK is great at music. Like, they have so much soul. And I think whereas, like, America gets more tied into fads, like, the UK just kind of is like, what's good is good, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have Elton John... I don't know that an Ed Sheeran would have made it in America.
Yeah, well, he did. What do you mean? Like prior
like,
to making
like,
it there? Kind
I don't
of?
Know that you're encouraged. I feel like he was encouraged the right way in the UK. And like, just like you listen to an old Elton John song.
Mm-hmm.
So much soul on it. You're mm-hmm. like, yeah. wow, this is fire. Mm-hmm. It was like highly like just great songs. And same with like Rolling Stones, who else?
Dude, Zeppelin's from, like, Britain. You know,
Zeppelin
and,
is.
And that's what so many, you know, guys 70s or whatever, bass, like, oh, dude, Zeppelin, mm-hmm. Zeppelin's like, yeah, dude, those guys were, like, British guys. You know, dude, the Beatles, they grew up across the pond, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a contrast in relatability, so why are you going to hate on our generation for liking Wu-Tang Clan, Nas, freaking Pusha T, whoever? It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, there's... It's the same shit. It's the same
Do you ever listen
shit.
To British rap?
Yeah, I like love Section Boys.
Yeah, so
Section Boys. Section Boys are
and
tough.
And Skepta?
Skepta's real tough.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was playing FIFA.
Lock
Do you
off?
Play FIFA at all?
Yeah.
So, like, they have, like, the British rappers right. on there and stuff. And I was like, what song is this? And I looked it up, and it was, like, Skepta or something.
Dude.
And I was like, this thing, this is fire, man.
Yeah,
so
some
I
of their slangs, though. At, like,
yeah, I
you
love
get into
slang.
It. Yeah, you're like, oh, that makes, like the one song, Lock Off, Section Boys. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, we look at trap. You like the definition of trap, like, you know, you go down that one way in the
yeah.
hood, you're trapped.
What do they
like,
call it? The Road that's, Boys. That's the Road Boys.
Road Boys,
yeah.
It's like, that's like a gangster. Like, Lock Off is like, you know, you went into the wrong part, you're locked off. Like, you're like, they're, you know, you better hope you get out kind of thing.
And it's the corniest, but the coolest thing at the same time. They have like biker boys, that's gangs of guys on scooters. Like, they're hanging out in Miami or something, you
yeah.
know? And I just think, like, their culture is cool.
Yeah. It all comes from probably similar. I mean, you know, a lot of that hip hop, you know, comes from that certain aspect
yeah.
of oppression. And I mean, the same way it is here, I'm sure in some of those parts in England, like some of these rappers probably experienced the same things culturally as
yeah.
some of these, you know, urban, like African American people in our country. And then the music then results almost in a similar format because of it. Just different slang, different meanings, different ways people say stuff.
What about salsa or like what Spanish music do you like teach?
I'm a romance man.
Yeah,
I'm a romance
I am
man.
Too.
So
I love R&B.
Like I feel like there's something about salsa and bachata music that just like it speaks that language. But like to Joe's point, man, just because you appreciate a type of music doesn't mean that you have to identify with being gangster rap.
Right.
It's just like, it's a preference that, so for instance, let's take worship for an example, because it's something we talked about already. You'll see in an all-white church, black church, same song, black church is going to have a lot more bass.
Yep.
A lot more... And
yep.
it's just
more
a preference of the
too.
People, man.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
So, like, if you've developed an ear or a preference towards more bass, what's wrong with that? I think
nothing.
That, like,
nothing,
sometimes
yeah.
we say, Joe's not a gangster. Why does he like gangster rap? He likes the sound.
Yeah.
He likes the feel of the music. So... That's the cool thing about music is that it brings people together and it exposes you, if willing to, exposes you to different elements of culture, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we grew up, an artist I think that to our, even like if I'm going to break down rap from like, you know, when we were 12 to somebody that's 12 now, I mean, Eminem was humongous. Eminem doesn't exist in modern PC culture. The way that he came out back then.
I was never a huge Eminem guy.
I can't lie, I was.
Yeah, my brother loved him.
Yeah.
And do you know what else I was going to tell you? My brother, or not my brother, I think you're a better, more well-rounded, cultured person if you have influences from all over. Like, TJ,
yeah.
the guy can talk about anything because he's lived in Brazil.
Yeah.
He has a Brazilian wife. So you can talk to him about soccer. You can talk to him because of those things.
Yes.
And, like, me, I'm, like, curious about everything. So I, like, look stuff up and I watch all documentaries and stuff. So
yeah.
I'll tell you guys a funny story. Because I think though you can't be a – let's just use gangster rap as an example. Though you can't identify with being a gangster in the hood or that culture saying that you grew up there, I think there's – elements of it that you can relate to, which allows for us to experience. I have a good friend of mine. He's a crazy successful businessman. Has an MBA at Wharton and a law degree at Wharton, like super big crib. And I went to hang out with him one time. We just went to Grub, and he picks me up in his car. The second I get into his car, and again, stereotypically, I'm looking at an older, meaning like middle-aged white guy.
Right.
I'm expecting some Led Zeppelin or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He cranks up Tupac because there's an experience of his life that he can relate to oppression, right?
Right.
And so he can go somewhere with that music that he can't in rock and roll music.
Right.
And what am I supposed to say? Dude, you don't know what it's like to be him. Why
yeah.
do I got to pull that card?
Right.
Exactly.
That's important. Yeah,
yeah.
That's important,
the guy
right?
listened to the music that he likes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And the thing is, musicians are artists, and they want everybody to hear their music.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what I was going to ask you, Teach? Is your salsa game on a bean? I want to learn how to salsa.
I'll tell you, dude. We took some classes, and...
In Philly or in Brazil?
Philly. My wife grew up in a pretty conservative culture, so dancing was like...
From
Brazil, like...
Yeah.
She still got moves, but it was just caged her
right,
entire adolescence.
Right.
So when she came here, we started to take classes. And I'll tell you, dude, the Latin American guys will wipe the floor with you. Unless
I know. And they make you look like a fool,
boy,
too.
I'm telling you, man. You think you got it? I thought I got it. And I saw, like, so the classes we went to, you went to a couple hours of classes. And then it was a free-for-all. So you had the class, and then it was open floor.
Yeah.
All the Latin guys came in.
Yeah.
Man... it was one of those things where you're at a middle school dance and like the break dance
you're
and
on
guys
the wall.
Came out
yeah.
and you're backing up. And you're
yeah.
like, I got a lot of work to do if I
yeah.
want to be on this level.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work on my game too. So I just think salsa is like cool music. I think it's like a cool thing because I got no moves at all. No dance moves at all. I just think maybe I should work on that a little bit.
And with your girl, dude, you develop. You got to be on the same page.
It's
right?
a good, cool thing to do with your wife
yeah.
or girlfriend
yeah,
too.
Man. Yeah.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I mean, it's all flow, right? Grinding back in the day,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
In a wallet.
Yeah,
yeah.
There was no chemistry there.
Like, hey, my wife, give me a wallet.
Yeah,
exactly,
you're just
right?
like worried about not getting too hard of a boner.
Yeah.
So she like figures you out.
Cisco the Thong Song came out. Come here.
Like, oh shit, I gotta shift to the side, otherwise she's gonna think I'm weird.
Yeah. Whereas salsa, you gotta get yourself right, man. You're not stationary, you know what I mean?
No.
So you gotta develop a chemistry. You're falling over your feet, man.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's the thing, because it's like it's really dancing when you have a partner
yeah.
and there's like a flow to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you have to take the lead on that, right?
You got to, dude. And it's a lot different than I originally thought because it's all in the hands, right? So you got your girl's hands and you think it's all in the feet, but you're actually kind of steering the ship with her hands because you have her hands in yours and you're kind of
showing her where to go, and it's cool from a leader, without being too cheesy. Like, you got to lead everything, bro. Yeah. So you're, what, the girl is completely dependent. She's looking for the man to kind of take ownership.
Right.
And in the Latin culture, I think it's so, it
like machismo.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Dude. Where Latin American men,
you have to be the man.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
It's time for you to be the man.
Exactly, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I think that's kind of a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people, I think, you know, like, manliness can be a bad thing when, like, if a man cries, it's like, oh, that's, he's a pussy, mm-hmm.
right?
Or, like, I noticed this too, like, some amazing artist won't play sports, and we go, oh, he's gay. Or when mm-hmm. we were growing up, we would say he's a fag. Mm-hmm. I try not to say that anymore, right. But... it's like, that guy's not gay. He's just like, he likes art mm-hmm. and music.
Yes,
he
exactly.
doesn't like the way us guys yeah. like sports
yeah.
for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I just think it's like weird when we give people and say, oh, this guy's not a man. Because it's something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though I do think all men should know how to defend themselves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. in Brazil, dude, the national sport is jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just walk by a 5'6", 120-pound guy, and he could literally choke you out and kill you if you got into a fight with him.
Right.
And that's kind of like an amazing thing about Brazil, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of keeps everybody honest, because mm-hmm. they're like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's that, like, that's confused. I think certain times, like, genetics get too intertwined with, like, stereotypes.
Right.
It's like there's certain things, it's like... Like my wife, for example. If I'm around the house and there's a bunch of heavy shit that needs to be moved,
yeah.
and she just says to me, like, don't, like, be a chauvinist to me. It's like, what, am I going to be a dick and just make you move it then?
Yeah,
you know? It's
yeah.
like, no, like, I'm 200-some-odd pounds.
Help,
yeah, like,
yeah.
this is where I'm going to help.
And men always want to help.
Like,
we want
to
help, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not doing it to...
impress
it's
you.
Not, like, well, it's not emasculate. Not to, you know... It's not to make her feel less than. It's just because that's my role right
yeah.
now. And I think that's a similar yeah. thing what you're talking about, Teach. It's like, from certain feministic views, it's like, oh, why does the man necessarily have to lead or something like that? It's just because that's what the dynamic was. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be
right.
because this person is like doing this role right now. It's not to say a woman can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, chicks, they, chicks, whatever, women, they want to be
broads.
Boxers, broads.
Broads.
Yeah, it's like,
call
you want
to be, they like that.
You want to be boxers? I don't care, but, like, I don't even want to entertain an argument that, you know, a 100-pound woman should be fighting a 200-pound man.
Right.
And,
well, do
you
know what
there's
the
just different,
thing is
there's,
to me?
That brings a whole different aspect.
When
you
see, like, as a man, if you see, even if you see two women fighting on the street and you pull out your phone to videotape it. If you see
right.
two anybody fighting on the street, unless it's two men, you might not be able to break it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like somebody that you could get in the, just do it. Be mm-hmm. a man. You
right,
know what I'm
exactly.
saying? Like
yeah.
that's what I'm talking about too. And part of like machismo, like, but it's like good machismo.
Exactly.
Like, if you can afford to do this, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Break
right.
up this fight, or
yeah,
you know, be a good role model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All these things.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. You see a woman, whether she's older, smaller, whatever, she's carrying something heavy or something
right.
silly. Just have, you know, just mm-hmm. help her out. Like,
or
help her for
if you
her,
see
you know?
A woman driving a car, offer to help her park.
Yeah. You know, somewhere deep down inside, she's gonna like you for it.
That was cool.
Should we wrap up on that note? That's a good ending, right?
For that.
Yeah,
I was waiting for it. I had it in my head. Oh, ready.
It's a Jack in the Box, bro.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. We got two parts now. I don't know if we should put it out together or not, but. We got two good episodes.
Yeah, hey.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, yeah.
Teach, hopefully
man.
You can come again,
yeah, man.
I felt like that was
fun.
All right, everybody. Thank you.
Dude.
We just did 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.